Well, we are in a series called John 3:16. We're finishing it up the month of August. However, we had a sort of a little diversion. Last week, how many here were last week with Brian Davis? How many enjoyed Brian? Wasn't he fantastic? Good friends of ours from Abbotsford and LifeSpring Church there. I've known him through Portland Bible College and MFI, the fellowship that we're a part of. And when he came to town, I really felt I wanted him to come and address the church and speak to the church. And at first, it was going to be, well, maybe we'll just sort of tag team and he'll do some and I'll finish off the series. But I'll tell you, he had such a prophetic, such a strong word for the house. It was like, take the whole time, just minister. And I'm so glad he did. He talked about build and battle out of the book of Nehemiah, and it was really a strategic word for you and I as this house. We're building, we're also battling, we're building the house for God, and there are calls that God puts out for every one of us that we would, as it were, get on the wall, get somewhere in the building of God's kingdom and find open places that aren't covered and get involved. Find a way that you can give your gifts and talents that I can't do, that my wife can't do, but God's put something inside of you to help build this church. But then together we also battle. There are warfare going on. We war not against flesh and blood, but it says against principalities, against spiritual wickedness, the high places. There are things going on that we need to battle. And we do that through worship. We do that through prayer. We come together and we join in the ranks to advance the kingdom of God. And I want to say, if you did not listen to last Sunday, you may not go to the website or iTunes to listen to me if you missed it, but will you go to it and listen to Brian Davis? Will you listen to what he had to say? It's a word for our church in our season. I think it was just such a great word. And you can get to iTunes through our website, or you can stream it strictly through our website at thepearlchurch.ca. And I encourage you just to get a hold of it, because we're also going to be in September, as we make our way through the rest of the month, actually launching off some of those principles that he talked about. We had already said it, but he sort of gave a good preliminary to it, so I look forward to that. All right, we're in John 3:16, and we're going to finish off this beautiful passage that we all know about, see on golf tournaments and football stadiums. People jump up with John 3:16, and it's like, what is that? Probably the most famous verse out of the Bible, and we often use it for evangelistic purposes to tell people about Jesus and the eternal life. But there's more to this beautiful phrase, this beautiful 28-word parade of hope, as one author calls it. And really what it is it's eight words that come out and can become four couplets. But if we look at John 3:16 and what it is, for God so loved the world, why don't you say this with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you're a believer and you've been in church, you've heard this perhaps a lot of times, and it's like, oh yeah, I know John 3:16. But John 3:16 is not just a phrase that opens a door into a relationship with Christ. It becomes a way of life. And this August has been, what is this phrase and how do we apply it in your life and my life? Eight words, four couplets that are simply this: God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. And you can break that all the way down into those four couplets to get an idea of not only what it is to come into a relationship with God, but what is it to experience day by day a relationship with God. And in its simplest ways, John 3:16 does that for us if we'll just have a look at what God's doing. And I'm going to set up today the last part of it, but I'm going to do it in a bit of a review, just so if you haven't caught where we've been going in the last August, you're going to catch it all today, and then we're going to hit it home. You know, John 3:16 in a way is like a roller coaster ride. When I went with my kids and wife to Disney World, we got on this one great roller coaster ride. And my wife and some of the kids would go home early, but me and my one son, we would always go back late at night because we want to get to the roller coaster. We want to go again. And the thing about this roller coaster is it starts off not slow. You know, some you get in and it starts off slow and creeps up. It comes out with a bang and your hands up. You are screaming right out of the start. It's exciting. You know, John 3:16 is like that. For God so loved, God loves. And it's like you come out and you want to experience all that God has for you. So it's hands up. It's like, God, I'm screaming with excitement about where you're taking me. And as you begin to take the roller coaster, you go up heights and you go down in it and you're screaming as you're going down and then you hear the click of the track as you're going, you're making your way up, you get to another top. And it's like each time there's a higher pinnacle of what God's taken us to. God loves. Yes, it's great. God loves. But it's just not God loves. He gives. It's like climb up another one and you go down. Woo, yeah, all right. And then all of a sudden you're getting down to the valley and you're going up and it's going, we believe, we believe, we believe. When you're going up to the top and then all of a sudden, could you imagine being at a roller coaster ride where all of a sudden you get to the highest peak and they all come out and go, okay, you can get off now. It's like, no, I want that end. I want that bottom part where you scream like anything to get to the bottom. It's all building to something. And John 3:16 is like that. God loves. Oh, that's incredible. God gives. Oh, that's so awesome. We believe. We have truth. We believe in something. But then it's like people get off. That was good. Nice ride. Well, hold it now. There's something more. We live. And when you get an idea of what that really means to we live, the fullness of what it is to live in Christ, it's like, man, I want to get back and do that again. And that's what we did. We'd go back at night and go again and again. And it's like John 3:16, when you get it and you understand it, it's like, oh, I want to do it again. John 3:16, every day, John 3:16. It's just not coming to the Lord, John 3:16. It's living with the Lord. John 3:16. So just quickly, God loves. God loves. And when you understand 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, you understand God is love. God doesn't love out of a response to what we do. Oh, hey, they were so good today, I'm going to love them. No, God loves because he is love. God doesn't act, say, do, respond because of something we do, then he'll love us. We know those relationships, don't we? That they'll only love us when we do something that they deem is lovable. God says, I can't help but loving you because I am love. All that I am, all my character, all that I, my attributes, my DNA, all that I am is love. So correction, judgment, anything God does, how he encourages us, blesses us, favor, anything he does, it's all out of love, because that's who he is. And he loves us with a furious love. It's a love that gains emotion or energy and strength, and it just constantly comes after us. So he pursues us. It's a love that chases us. It's a love that wants to wear us down so that we can receive all the love he has for us. It's not a love that says, when you're lovable, I'll love you. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us by giving us his son. He loved us while we're unlovable. We have a hard time loving people when they're lovable. Because they come up short. They're not quite, I don't know if I can love you. I don't know if I can give my love to you because I don't know if you're deserving of it. God says, I love you. Even while you're unlovable. That's all of a sudden, that's the first peak. It's like, oh, God, I cannot believe. And it's like God says it's a love that you can't even measure it. The height, the width, the depth, the length. He encourages us to figure it out, but he says it's beyond measure. It's beyond figuring it out, but it's just a vast sea of the love that God has for us. But it's not only that. He doesn't just love us. He so loved that he gives. He gives. God gives to you and I. And the thing about what he, how his love is and how he gives is he gives without expecting return. God's love, that agape love, that Greek word agape, that self-sacrificing, unconditional love is a love that gives knowing he's not going to get a return. We have a hard enough time to give things to people when they don't say thank you. We want appreciation. We want them to come to us and say, thank you, I appreciate it, I'll wear it, I'll use it, whatever. Because pretty soon if they don't show that appreciation, we stop giving. God says, I so love that I give freely. I will give to you whether you ask for it or not. And that's the thing about God and his love. God doesn't say, well, I'll only give it because you want it. I give it because you need it. I give it whether you ask for it or not. God's love is such a way that he gives to us. And the thing about his love is we ask, well, who are you going to give this love to? You and I go through a vetting. You know, we go through people and we try to figure out, are they worthy of my love? I don't know if I'm going to get it back. You know, what's their character like? I don't know if I want to give to them because I don't want to associate. God says, I will give to whoever. For God so loved the world, he gave that whosoever, whoever. And that's the crazy thing about God, and it just blows your mind if you really think about it. Because we all look for qualifications. God says, I just give to whoever. Well, no, hold it, God. You're giving your best gift, your only son, to die for the sins of humanity, and you're going to give it to whoever? Nobody can buy it, purchase it. Nobody will ever be able to do it again, and yet you're willing to give it freely to whoever? You got to be kidding. How is it that you can do it to whoever? And that's the nature of God's love. It's based on the need of the object, not the response of the person. I give because I love, God says. I love you. I give to you. It's interesting that, you know, when we read at Christmas time and we look at the birth of Jesus Christ, God's coming in flesh as a baby, and he comes into a manger, and God tells to Joseph to take his wife Mary and don't put her away, but be the father of this child that's going to be birthed. It's the Holy Spirit bringing this child in you. And God says to Joseph, by the way, I want you to name this child, and you're going to name him Jesus. And if you really understand, there's a world in darkness under Roman oppression, poverty, imprisonment. This is a world that is deep in the tyranny of government that is total corrupt. And God says, I'm going to give you not what you want, but what you need. They wanted a commander. They wanted a ruler. They wanted a king. They wanted a vigilante of sorts, somebody that would avenge them. And God says, I don't want you to name him commander, teacher, wisdom. I don't want you to name him doctor. I don't want you to name him a politician. I don't want you to name him anything that the people think they want. I want you to name him what they need. Call him Jesus. Jesus means salvation. The object of his love, you and I, God gave to meet our deepest need, not our greatest want. And that's the love of a father that looks to his children, you and I, and say, I'm not going to give you what you want, what you really, really want. I'm going to give you what you need. Broken humanity did not need a king that would rule in the earth. Humanity needed a savior. So God gave his only begotten son to whoever. What a whole new level of generosity. No strings attached. And the crazy thing about God is that God knew beforehand that people would not accept him. Have you ever given a gift to somebody knowing that they didn't want it? Not usually. We get disappointed if somebody doesn't want what we give them. I spent all this money, all this time, and you give a gift and they go, oh, gee, that's really nice. We get disappointed. Are we likely to give another gift? Not likely. God says, I will give the greatest gift out of love, even though they don't want it. They're going to reject it. They're going to abandon it. They're going to say no to it. They're going to be those that say, I don't want this gift. There are troubling verses in the Bible that, as a pastor, as just a believer, I look at this and I go, oh, God, why did you put that in there? I don't like that one. You know, besides Leviticus, I mean, Deuteronomy and a few of those books, you know, we just sort of gloss over those because they're so hard to read. But there's certain verses that trouble me. And here's one that God puts in here because he knows what we're like. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it says, enter through the narrow gate. I'm talking about the salvation, coming into right relationship with God. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, that leads to an eternal existence outside of a relationship with God. And many enter through it. He says, there is a way that seems right unto man, the Bible says in Proverbs, but the end of it is death. There is one way. It's broad. It's large. It's inviting. It has no restrictions. Nobody is unqualified. Everybody can go through this. And people choose that path. Many find it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I go, God, you knew that when you gave your son, many would choose to reject that way. Many will find the other way. Many, many. It's like, God, why? Why is there many that want to go their own way that leads to an existence outside of you? Why? Is it many? Well, it should be few find that. God says, no, I know humanity. They choose their own way. And as you begin to even look at that one verse, you begin to ask why. And if you ask why long enough, you're going to get an answer. And the answer is God's calling you to show people the way. They will naturally go the way of wideness and largeness and no qualifications that lead to a life outside. And it's up to you and I to be the ones that show them the other way. But few find it. And God gave to whoever, knowing that most would say no. Yet love says, I don't care. I'll still give. I give because of who I am, not because of who they are. And that's the love of God. God so loved that he gave. And the thing about the whoever, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that whoever is also the whatever. And I'm not talking about the refrain to a question where somebody will go, whatever, type of thing. I'm talking about the whatever where God says, whatever your life has been like, you're still a whoever that I give to. And we go, no, God, you don't know how bad my life was. Yeah, I do. God says, I will give this gift to whoever because whatever your life is like, I still love you. No matter how you've hit bottom, life of chaos, life of rejection, life of addiction, life of self-seeking, life of sin, abandonment, oh, disobedience, no matter how far you have gotten away from God, no matter whoever you are and whatever you've done, God says, my love will reach past you to draw you. I will go to the uttermost, to the guttermost, to the evermost, because my love reaches beyond whatever you have done in life. The whoever is the whatever, but it's also the whenever. Whenever. The gift of God has no expiry date. You look at the milk cartons today. You look at the various, and you look for the best before, right? If you're a bachelor, that's just a suggestion. Because it's amazing what stays in your my wife's away. It's amazing what goes past the due date, all right? I'll try it. But with God, there's no expiry date. Jesus hangs on the cross the day he dies. And there he hung on the cross, and there was two thieves, one on each side of him, worthy of death. They themselves were to be crucified because of the consequences of whatever they have done. One of them stops mocking and begins to realize, this is the Son of God. He didn't deserve to be here. He did nothing. And he turns to Jesus and he says, will you remember me this day? Will you remember today? Will you remember me? He's about to die, and he says, will you remember me? And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. There's no expiry date on the gift of God that he gives to every man and woman and child. We have the expiry date. It's appointed unto man, you and I, once to die. And then, it says, the judgment. There's death. It happens. There's no do-overs, no mulligans. There's no, I'll try it again next time. And God says, no, there's only one chance. Accept the gift now. There's no expiry date. You can receive Christ today, tomorrow, the next day, but you can't accept him after your expiry date. When you die, the opportunity to choose Christ is over. So God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. He gives it to whoever, whatever, whenever. But the only thing is we have to believe. And here's the third thing. God says, you don't have to earn it. And all of a sudden, as you're moving up that roller coaster, getting to the top, there's no struggle. I got to earn salvation. I got to be doing good works. I got to make myself better than the guy next to me. No, we just have to believe. For whosoever believes would not perish, but have everlasting life. And to believe is simply this, to put your trust in who God says he is and what he says he'll do. Who he is, what he'll do. Trust God. I am who I am. Trust in who he says he is and trust that he will do what he says he will do. We receive this greatest of gifts, not because of deserving it, but simply because he loves us enough to give. We have to respond in faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you will declare with your mouth, if you'll declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is who he says he is, if you'll declare with your mouth and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he'll do what he says he'll do, you'll be saved. Man, so simple. Why do we as a church make it so hard? Why do we try to put so many hoops and loops and politics and bureaucracy and so many things to experience the life of God, when all it is if just believe who he says he is and that he'll do what he says he'll do? You'll be saved. You'll have that relationship that he calls every one of us to do. Trust in his person and his power. John 3:16 is a calling to every person. Doesn't matter your gender, your race. Doesn't matter your location, your status of life, anything. It's unto all who are all unqualified if you'll just simply believe. But here's where I want you to see this now. John 3:16 is not just an invitation to enter a relationship. It's an invitation to a way of life. It's not just an opening of a door to get to somebody. It's a way to have a relationship with somebody. We don't just come to Jesus and then do our own thing. We come to Jesus and now we experience him on a daily basis. We do life with him. And it's God loved and God so loves. The love of God did not stop the day we got saved. The same love that we received coming in is the love that God has for us in our marriages, in our homes, in our jobs, in our family life. The same overwhelming, lavish love that he put on us to draw us into a relationship is the same love that God has for us on a daily basis. John 3:16 just doesn't get us in. It describes how we should live our life. For God so loved. There's a so love for you every day. When I go through struggles and hardness and rejection and abandonment and people speak this of me and do that of me, I can go to God, not just to thank him for salvation, but that the love of God that he has for me is here today, right now, this moment. No matter how hard life gets, he's so loved. It's a furious love. Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with an unfailing kindness. It's everlasting. It's unfailing. There is nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. But you need to position yourself so you can receive the fullness of God's love. You can walk away, and all of a sudden, the love that God has for you, you're not enjoying it. You're not experiencing it. You pursue in that everlasting, unfailing love. And God is moved by his love for you far more than your love for him. I talk to young people all the time, and even older believers, and sometimes they get into this, man, I just got to love God more. Well, you do, but it's not going to make God love you anymore. God can't change his love to you. God loves you with an everlasting, unfailing. It is resolved. It's resolved. It's there. It's there. Just get in position to receive the love of God. Be in proximity. Be in closeness. Be in intimacy. Experience the love that God has for you. God gave, but he also gives. So he loved, he loves. He gave, he gives. And here's what, I just loved James, his word of encouragement. Expect more. Sometimes we think the mundane, it's just same old, status quo, just the way it is. You know, we go through life and we stop expecting. God gave so overwhelmingly when we got saved, but do you know that same giving spirit is here today? It's in your marriage, it's in your home. God wants to give. He wants to lavishly pour out. He wants to generously give to you all that he has for us. He just didn't give. He continues to want to give. Matthew 7 says this in parable, in an analogy, talking about parents. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give him a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give him a snake? Of course not, though I thought about it. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts compared to God, you're sinful. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? James says, you have not because you ask not. God says, you know how to give good gifts out of a relationship as a good father, as a good parent. Hear these words, how much more? Do you wake up in the morning and say, I've got a how much more expectation on God? In my school, how much more will God bless me? In my marriage, how much more will God pour out in our lives? How much more in our areas of our job, our education, our pursuit? Young people, expect God to do things in your life. Wake up expecting, God, you will guide me into good jobs. You will guide me in relationships. You will guide me and pour out things into my life because you're a good, good father. We sing about it. You're a good, good father. Do we live with an understanding he's a good, good father? Expect from God. Ask of God. Pursue God. Have him pour out in your relationship much more, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. Thanks, James, for setting up the message today. That's exactly how we should live our life, expecting God in our church to do more, to add, to enlarge, to give ministries, to add gifts into your life and my life. God was not stingy. Oh, this guy wants to come into the kingdom. I'll give him just enough to get in. All right, let him in. Fine. Never really liked the guy, but bring him in. No. God's like, he wants in. Don't just give him enough. Give him more than enough. Lavishly pour my gift of grace on his life that he will be so overwhelmed there will be more than a lifetime of grace. We've received, John 1:14 says, we've received of his grace, grace upon grace. It's like a wave of an ocean. One wave of grace comes in and nails you, knocks you over. You go, oh, that was something. Oh, there's another wave. Comes over and knocks you. Oh, there's another wave. And it's like the waves of an ocean. God's provision, grace, is available to us on a daily basis if we will ask. He gives to bring us in, but then he says, I'm your good father. I want to keep giving. I want to keep pouring. Have expectation that God will give. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What can we say about all this? If God is on our side, can anyone be against us? Listen to this. God did not keep back his own son, but he gave him for us. If God did this, if that's the standard of his giving, won't he freely give us everything else? People, ask, pray, call to God. God is a God with unlimited resources, but a heart that is large. He wants to give to you and I. Every day expect, every day anticipate. You know, as families, man, you guys as families should be praying and expecting God to do great things in your home, in your marriages. Young couples, start off in your marriages expecting God to do great things. Expect God, young people, to open up areas of jobs for you, relationships, open up doors that people go, how did you get that job? I asked God and God gave it. What a testimony. But a lot of people go through life with so many things left not given because nobody asked. God says, come, ask, seek, knock. We need to be those that will come into that kind of relationship. So Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Seek him, pursue him. He loves, he loved and he loves. He gave and he gives. All right? We believe and we keep on believing. We keep on expecting. But then finally, we live. Here's the all of a sudden, the roller coaster is click-clacking all the way up to the top. Yeah, we live. What's this all about? What can we experience as we get to the top and come make our way down and do it all again? We live. Well, when we were born, little Henley and this young little man here, Lennox, my grandson, you know, they come out and you and I, there's life. Boom, there's life. Well, there's life in the womb, but all of a sudden there's life. That natural life, God gives us life. There's two words for life in the New Testament. In the Greek, it's bios, which is this natural life. And we all come into this biology. We get that word biology, bios. And it talks about our natural life. We're born with life. But God says that if you have Christ in you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, he says, you're a new creation. There's a born-again experience. John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. How am I born again? Do I climb back into my mother's womb? Well, that's silly. No, you're born from above. By having a relationship with Jesus Christ, you become born from above or born again. And that born again, that new life you get is the word Zoe. We have people today named this beautiful name, Zoe, God life. Bios, natural life, Zoe, God life. When we come into a right relationship with God through forgiveness of sins, we get life, Zoe. We have eternal life. We don't perish, but we have a right relationship with God. We come into this God life. But Zoe is more than eternal life. John 10:10, Jesus talking to his disciples, you and I, says this, the thief, that's the Satan, the opposer of everything that is God, everything of God's plans, purposes, all his desires, there's a thief, an opposer that comes but to steal, kill, and destroy the life of God that's in you and I. And he says, but in comparison to, I've come that they might have life. And then he says this, and life more abundant. That they might have Zoe, God life. But then he says, and abundant life. More than just that eternal life. It's an abundant life. It's an overflowing. It's a more than necessary kind of life. And you and I, as we go through life, we don't just have eternal life. God calls us to an abundant life. In John 7, Jesus said this. He says, he that believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living, life-giving water. There's a life source. It's not just in us. It becomes so overflowing, so abundant, it flows out of us. We touch lives. There's something about Zoe that's not just for us. It flows out of us. And here's what I want you to understand. Too often we settle for eternal life when God offers abundant life. You can't have abundant life through God without eternal life. But you can have eternal life and not walk out abundant life. Where you simply endure life. You simply make your way through. You just simply exist until God gets you to heaven. God says, don't. Don't settle for eternal life when I want to give you abundant life. Now, today, in your homes, everywhere that you go. Don't endure life. Don't endure life as a believer. Get excited and enjoy life. So let me just give you two thoughts as we sort of come to a close here. Number one, how do we get this abundant life? Number one, make the person of Jesus Christ a daily pursuit. Make the person of Jesus Christ a daily pursuit. Pursue him daily. Listen to John 14. Live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way, a branch can't bear grapes by itself by only being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. Bear fruit. Then he says more fruit. Later he says much more fruit. How do you get much more? How do you get abundant? You live in Christ. Pursue him daily. Make him a daily pursuit. You wake up in the morning, it's not about your job first. It's not about your relationships first. It's not about what the world expects out of you first. It's, Lord, I pursue you first. God, I thank you for this day. I set my day towards you. Prayer, worship, you personally give your life to him in a pursuit. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed, content, happy, overflowing are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled, overflowing, abundant, gorged. It's more than enough. How? Because you pursue after righteousness. You hunger, you thirst. How do you get an abundant life? Make Jesus every day your personal pursuit. Pursue after him. Out of a relationship with him, the abundance begins to flow. Abide in him. Make your daily life about him. You go to work. You have a job. You go to school. Yes. But it's God, through my school, let me draw near to you. Through my work, be glorified. Through my relationships, you be the one that becomes evident. Make him your daily pursuit. Secondly, make the community of Jesus a regular experience. Jesus personal, his presence, I'm pursuing, but the community of Jesus. In John chapter 11, there's an experience that takes place with a guy by the name of Lazarus. You might know the story of Lazarus who died. Mary and Martha, his sisters, they wanted Jesus to come and heal him, but Jesus delayed it, and he had a purpose because he wanted to reveal a greater strength and a healing. He wanted to have a resurrection. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and he says to the sisters, he says this, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives in me, lives and believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe? Do you believe? I'm resurrection and life. Well, Jesus goes to the grave. And goes to the grave and says to the community, I want you to remove the stone. Could Jesus have done it? Yes. But he says, here's a man that's dead, and I want him to come alive, but I want the community to go and remove the stone so what was dead can come alive. I want the community to be involved in what's going on. The community looks at this and goes, nah, I don't know, you know, he's been dead for 4 days and he smells. New King James says he stinketh. Do you know when we were in our sins and trespasses, we stunk? Do you know there's a world that stinks? And we need to be those that are willing to say, I will be a part of you coming alive. As a church, we're open. Anybody, you come. You don't have to believe like us, just belong. And out of belonging, you will believe. Be part of us. And the community went and they rolled the stone away. The community got involved, and then all of a sudden Lazarus, it says he came forth in verse 44. He who had died came out, bound hand and foot, grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. I don't know how he came out. He was mummified. His feet were together. His hands were there. His face was all wrapped up, and I can just see him inching his way out of the grave. And all of a sudden sunlight's there. He's out, but he's still wrapped. And sometimes I think like believers, we who once were dead come out, we're alive, but we're still bound. We're still wrapped up in our stuff. We're still wrapped up in me, wrapped up in what I want, wrapped up. And you know what? We don't get the abundant life until we're unbound, until we're set free. But who set them free? Jesus? It was done in community. He said to them, the community, loose him and let him go. Let him go and free his hands so he can serve. Free his feet so he can walk alongside other people. Free his mouth so he can worship. Free his eyes so he can get vision. Free his ears so he can hear in conversation. Let him be part of the community. And as they allowed him to become part of the community, as they opened up and they accepted him back in. John chapter 12, it says he sat at the house with Jesus and ate with him. And it was there, you know the story. Mary comes and anoints the feet of Jesus, uses her hair to wipe the feet, and all of a sudden the fragrance fills the house. Lazarus experienced abundant life in community because he came out from dead to life, but he released his body, his life, his hands, his feet to serve. How do we walk out abundant life largely? In community. We serve one another, help one another. We encourage one another. We worship together. We pray together. We talk together. We do life together in community. So in the serving, we go, wow, I didn't know I had that gift. I feel released. We walk alongside people and help them. We go, man, I feel better. It's not because I'm better than them, but man, I loved helping them. And all of a sudden in community, abundant life begins to flow. Abundant life happens as you make Jesus, the person of Jesus, your personal pursuit, daily pursuit. But it's also as you make the community of Jesus a regular experience. I want to encourage you today to pursue after. Don't settle. Don't settle for eternal life. Hey, bus, when's the bus coming? Can hardly wait for the bus to get to heaven. Rapture, I'm in. I'm out of here. Don't spend your days waiting for that. Every day have abundant life through your personal walk with Jesus and through your walk with the community. If Jesus wanted you in heaven that badly, he would have killed you the day you got saved. He doesn't want you that bad. He wants you here. So through you, he can flow through you to reach people in our community. How many say, I don't want to settle? How many are with me? I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle. Eternal life is great, but I want more. And God says, I've got abundant life. Make Jesus your personal pursuit on a daily basis and stay in the community. Get involved. Small groups, serving groups, outreach groups, worship on Sundays. Plug yourself into community. We need you. You need us. And even those that stink, because we once were there, we need to invite and bring in. Amen? Amen. Why don't we stand up here today? You know, eternal life is the greatest gift we can all receive. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never said, Lord, you be the Lord of my life. I want eternal life. I don't want to have to go through that question, where will I be in eternity? I want to know I'll be with you. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord of my life. If you've never made that prayer, would you just raise your hand that I can pray with you? You're saying today, I want eternal life. I've never experienced it. I don't know what it's all about. If you have questions, come see me afterwards. We can pray with you. But I believe every one of us wants abundant life. So let's just pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of Jesus that says you've come to give us life and life more abundant. God, help us to expect more, to anticipate more, to live more. God, that we would make you our personal pursuit on a daily basis. Discipline us, Lord, in the word, in worship, oh God, in discipleship, God. Help us to know you greater. But also, Lord, let us make the community of Jesus, one another, God, an experience on a regular basis, Sunday after Sunday, midweek, with the young adults, with the youth ministry, Lord. God, with the serving teams, with the evangelistic teams, however we can, oh God. We want more of that abundant life. And we ask that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's worship the Lord here with this final song before we go out and have a little coffee and fellowship.